Well, I thought for Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday, we'll go back to Christ the King Sunday, that we would start out with season 4 of The Crown, which we are halfway through, and which for some reason holds ongoing fascination for me, although every single episode shows more dysfunction and tragedy, more than anything of grandeur. But the entry music and the graphics are beautiful and haunting. It's the pouring of metal into the intricacies of the crown worn on the head of a monarch who seems to have little capacity for affection, even for her own children, in a family that is to a one deeply wounded and tragically confined in the twisted bars of the cage that is made by the institution of the crown. That is the human empire, not at its best, but not even close to its worst either. Always damaged, always struggling with the ring of power that in another British story, Frodo only barely is able to vanquish at cost eventually of his life. Choose whom you will serve, says Joshua. And that's something that we have to do each day, but especially we are reminded to do on Christ the King Sunday. Reminding ourselves that it is God's kingdom we serve and not the faulty empires around us. Now it's tempting to go from that right into The Way of Love, which we are reading for December and which I recommend. And I've only begun to read it, but there's an edge to the passages too today. So we can't go straight there. The last three Sundays of parables warned and reminded us that while God may seem absent, God will return. And perhaps when we least expect it. We asked ourselves for the last 3 weeks, how is it that we are waiting? What will God find us doing? In those passages were warnings too. Some will be ready and some will not. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament readings today, there is judgment. There is a hint of the danger and the power of the kingdom of the reign of Christ. I want to talk just a little bit about that power, bring up another book. I recently finished Barbara Brown Taylor's Leaving Church, another one I'd recommend. And she writes about the time that she took off the collar as an Episcopal priest and began teaching in a nearby college. She says, I gained a new attachment to the Holy Spirit, whom I steadfastly experienced as she was unpredictable. She wasn't safe. But she was life-giving. And then in a, something that would connect, I thought, well, to anybody in the Metal Valley, she talks about watching a red-tailed hawk as she thinks about the Holy Spirit. To see her fold her wings and stoop, falling through the air like a lightning bolt on her prey, was to wonder if Jesus did not see something more like that than the something like a dove when the heavens split open at his baptism. Maybe the gospel writers did not want to scare the rest of us off, so they left out the part about the talons. Well, the talons are definitely in the readings today. And of course, that passage from Taylor reminded me of one from Annie Dillard, which is one of my favorites, so I had to include that as well, which is part of an essay of Teaching a Stone to Talk. Why do people in church seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a packaged tour of the absolute? Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we blithely invoke? Or as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us to where we can never return. The reign of Christ is life-giving and also supremely powerful beyond our wildest imaginations. It's a journey of the edges. But it can be hard to see the reign of Christ when we look around us sometimes. Things lately have been something of a mess. But remember that Matthew wrote this under Roman rule, surely quite a bit more of a mess surely quite a bit more disturbing. The reign of Christ might not have been immediately apparent then either. In fact, there's no way that it would have been. So choosing to serve Christ today and every day and not the world requires faith, it requires discipline, it requires commitment, and it requires commitment to, that's where we get to come finally to this, the way of love, a commitment ultimately to relationship. This past week, I gave a presentation to an alumni group along with a workshop on owning their stories. And I asked them to look at the inflection points in their lives and the insights and the values that emerged from those inflection points. And we broke out into the little Zoom small groups like we can. And one small group reported back, what was most interesting was that the values almost always had to do with community. And the inflection points often related to either the building of or the destruction of community. This, coming back around to this in the American and maybe even the Western mind, requires an entire sea change. I was brought up with the conservatism of Reagan, and as I was reminded recently in The Crown, Thatcherism, which was a conservatism that suggested that each person pull him or herself up by their bootstraps, quit complaining, and get on with it. I don't think this argument is completely without merit, but it's been taken to an extreme, and that's dangerously destructive of community. Our churches have followed suit with society instead of choosing the way of love. And as Taylor points out as well, going back to her now, whenever people aim to resolve their conflicts with one another by turning to the Bible, defending the dried ink marks on the page becomes more vital than defending the neighbor. For me, the willing conversion of ink back into blood is the full substance of faith. My reading persuades me that God is found in right relationship and not in right ideas. So what do we do then with all of that and this Sunday dedicated to the reign of Christ? If we can't see it in the midst of this world all the time, how do we learn to look for it, and how can we further it? That's the question that we have to answer today. And what it certainly does not look like is the intricate and heavily jeweled crown that Elizabeth wears, or any other monarch wears, or the gilded penthouse apartments in New York, to make the parallel for our own country. What it does look like, though, maybe this is a little tiny, tiny bit of Reaganism and Thatcherism, what it does look like is in part up to us. So this afternoon, I just sent this to a couple folks, and I'll send the other ones back in the regular church email too, but the National Cathedral has some classes that they're offering today and then into Advent. And today was an art as meditation class, and we painted a holly wreath. There is my holly wreath, if you'd like to see it. But it was intended to be art as meditation. So there was a meditation that began, and then the idea of thinking of the various iconographies that relate to holly. And holly began to represent Jesus Christ because holly is prickly. And that was more like the crown of thorns than the crown that the queen wears, as an example. Which is the reminder, of course, that our king wears a crown of thorns and not that metal crown that we see at the beginning of the TV series, not the trappings of empire. Our king says, and this is how we know what the way of love looks like. We only have to turn to his story, of course, and to the readings today. Our king says that you will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what does that look like? I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. That is the way of love. And that is the empire of our King for Christ the King Sunday. What will he do in this empire? I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak. If what the empire of Christ the King looks like is in part up to us, the question for this Sunday seems to be, how is it that each one of us, individually and collectively as a community and as a church, can further the rest? Amen.